Anyhow, good morning, everybody. This morning we're reading from Mark 12, and it's about the greatest commandment. So let me start by reading to you the passage. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," said the man. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, nobody dared ask him any more questions. So if we put this time in context, as we read this passage, Jesus has not long before, a few days before, arrived in Jerusalem to a great welcome. He arrives on a donkey. And later on, the next thing that he does, which causes quite a lot of havoc, is that he comes into the temple and he clears the temple of all the money changers and those who are using the pilgrims to make money. So our story starts, or our text starts, when Jesus is debating with a load of representatives from various groups and different temples. And we find him with these men who are, as usual, trying to test him and trick him. Also, this happened not only a few days before the crucifixion. However, these men were not temple men. They were not like the Sadducees that Sally spoke to us about last week. These were men of the word. So these were men who knew their Torah and spent all their time studying it. They were also the men who'd started the synagogues after the exile. And they held positions of great prominence within the temple. And they had kind of three roles, and their three roles were, so firstly, they were known as scribes, and they wrote down the laws and the rulings and the explanations of texts and laws, not only now, but of ancient times. They were also pretty busy men, as the Torah had, as I'm told, 615 commandments. That's quite some commandments. And 365 of those were thou shalt not. Aren't you glad we have a Bible today, the New Testament? Also, they were considered teachers of the law. And they would gather around them young men, boys, who they would impart their knowledge to. Plus, they waded through all the commandments because a lot of the teachers would like to put minor laws and major laws into compartments, but many thought that no, that they were all equal. So they kind of waded all through that as well. And thirdly, they were lawyers. And because of their seemingly great wisdom, they passed on the knowledge of laws. And they also passed judgments and disputes within the nation. So you can see they were pretty high up. So while these discussions were taking place with Jesus, another teacher comes onto the scene. And he's kind of he's there not to catch Jesus out. He's there not in a group. He's there representing himself, if you like. So far, the word tells us that he's impressed with what he hears Jesus say. And yeah, I guess anybody would be impressed. So he kind of can't resist asking a question that he's been thinking about. And I wonder if we were there, if we were that man, what would be the question that we might ask Jesus at that time? What might make me move to ask Jesus? Anyhow, he asks a genuine question from his heart. He's not trying to test Jesus. He's not trying to trick him. He has a need to know this answer. Remember, this is in the light of all the 615 commandments that there are. And he says, of all the commandments, which is the most important? I wonder if that was really a God-inspired question. I kind of think it was, because that the answer that it led to is not only for them there then, it's for us for today. And it was a kind of cut-to-the-chase question. In the light of all that was going on, Jesus' answer was simple, and yet so dynamic. And these men were trying to live, probably the majority of the crowd were trying to live devout, good and holy lives. But Jesus' answer that he was to give the man not only cut through all that had gone on in the past, all those 615 commandments, but also it kind of made a nonsense out of all that went on in the temple. So the first part of the answer we see that Jesus gives, all those men would have heard many, many times. And it comes from Deuteronomy. And the first part of the answer is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." This was a daily saying that these men would have known. It was a bit like a creed, and it would have been part of their daily prayers. So I guess they were kind of okay with that. Yet here was to come the punchline. Jesus, in a way, gave them two commands for the price of one. He only asked what was the most important. I like to think the crowd were kind of holding their breath at this point, knowing that Jesus, the way that Jesus often, to a certain extent, put his foot in it. And Jesus added the next commandment of loving your neighbor. And giving that so much importance would have been a really radical move in that time. The Jews, at hearing these words, would have been somewhat shocked at what Jesus had just said. As at that time, the only person that you were to care for were your fellow Jews. But if they thought about this for a minute, what was Jesus implying here? Was Jesus actually implying that you should love your enemies? If you go the whole way with that, your neighbor, maybe that takes you to your enemies as well. And we see where the story of the Good Samaritan stands here and makes sense. Yet I wonder, actually, at their surprise or at their shock, because in Micah, Old Testament, it clearly says, do what the God, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. However, did they kind of think that that might have alluded to their enemies? But the answer Jesus gave, you could summarize with all of God's laws. When we love God completely, we care for others as ourselves. It's kind of like one flows into the other. And then we fulfill all of the Ten Commandments that we're given. And we live our lives according to his will. I wonder how many times we've kind of read that passage and Jesus' response to that young teacher without actually seeing What it is that is expected of us. This is not about a story. Jesus gave that answer, not just for that crowd or for that time, but it's as relevant today for us as it was then. So what we see is required is total love. Because of what God has done for us, therefore, the commandment that flows out of us, it's not about praying more, it's not about coming to church more, it's about actually immersing ourselves in the love of God, cherishing the relationship that is so freely given to us on his part, being totally sold out for him. So how do we do that? Jesus gives us four alls here. He tells us to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. In other words, every part of us and in every situation that we take part in, we express God's love. To love him with my whole heart is in all of my affections. Everything that motivates me in regards to my relationship with him. To love him with my whole soul is to love him with the very core of who I am. To love him with all my mind is about what I give my mind time to. What I think about, how I think, where I allow my mind to go. And to love with all my strength is everything I do and everywhere I go. Personally speaking, as I wrote this and as I looked at this, I knew I fell far short of this command. But the command in itself is not enough. Jesus says in the same breath, we're to love our neighbours as ourselves. We're given a standard here in which to love our neighbours. And if we're honest, we're pretty good at loving ourselves. We're good at treating ourselves. We're good at telling ourselves we're worth it. We know when we've been hard done by. We know when we've had a sense of loss. To be honest, we're pretty experts at looking out for number one. It's part of us. It's part of our sinful nature. But the challenge here is to be concerned with our neighbours as we are concerned with ourselves. Do we actually know the needs? And when I say neighbours, I'm talking about whoever is around us, the rest of the world, if you like. Do we know the needs of our neighbours? Do you even know the need of the person sitting next to you this morning? It's clearly not enough to love God alone and close ourselves off to what is happening in the rest of the world. And it's not enough to love neighbours without knowing the love of God. They one flows into the other and out of the other. I'm sure, like me, you have good friends who don't love the Lord or don't know the Lord. I know I have a few. But actually, without God, what they do is in their own strength. And I think, you know, what I do with God in my life is hard enough. So to act without God must be terrible. But Jesus is showing us a very balanced way to live our lives. Love God, love your neighbour. Going back to the temple, you can only imagine the faces of those supposedly expert men. Particularly when the teacher says to Jesus, "Well said, teacher." I do think that's a bit cocky of him, but never mind. Well, said teacher, you are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Wow, I bet you could have heard a pin drop at that moment. This confession had come from one of them. These were the men who would do anything to trick Jesus. Many of those men, many of those people there, would have believed that the greatest commandment was in sacrifice. Therefore, the temple teachers that were needed, I mean, this has so many connotations, because the temple teachers that were needed to carry out all the rituals and the sacrifices, where does that leave them? Imagine if what Jesus is saying here is true, then where is the relevance for the temple? And the daily rituals and the temple life, all the customs that cheated the poor and took advantage of the rich, were they needed anymore if this was true? Indeed, had Jesus just blown the ideal of the temple right out of the water? So we end this passage with Jesus' reply to the young man. You can almost imagine the smile on Jesus' face as he acknowledges the teacher's understanding and the truth. And the truth that from loving God and loving your neighbor comes not from a set of rules, but that obedience comes from a heart response. A heart response to God. These two commandments that Jesus gave, the importance, summarizes all of God's laws. And it's for us, it's the same truth. You know, when we're confused about a situation or a way ahead, if we could ask ourselves the question, what best shows the love of God and love to others, we'll know his will for us. Sounds easy. Jesus knows the struggles that the teacher faced, but he encouraged him, saying, "You're not far from the kingdom." The answer Jesus gave the man must have been filled with quiet authority, as the text ends saying, "Nobody else dare say a word." You know, we also need to seek to live our lives by those same principles. And yet we have the added bonus of God's Holy Spirit, bringing us light into our confusion and darkness, which is our prompt in so many ways as we seek for a deeper relationship with God. So this morning, we don't set our lives by a set of rules, but we open ourselves to God's love. And as his love, we allow his love to pour into us. So hopefully, we touch the lives of others, our neighbors, as in this text. We pass on that love that God has given us.